You're tuned in to TPE Network, fun yet informative podcasts.
Hello and welcome to the TV and Movie Reviews Podcast. I'm Hank.
And I'm Mel.
And we are your hosts. This time we're going to be reviewing Black Widow. Sounds deadly. More ways than one.
Deadly to, I'm not even going to start.
Yeah, we'll be like, deadly to the wallet, deadly to lawsuits, deadly to a lot of stuff.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Well, as we often do, let's start out with the setting as far as all the various settings that took place throughout the movie. Personally, I got the Bourne identity kind of vibe when they were going around to some of these areas that looked European or what have you. And I was like, okay, I kind of get that spy type feel from that. But some of the like indoor stuff kind of fell flat for me. And it just seemed like, okay, instead of being on this gigantic floating ship or whatever it is, floating red room, we're in this room. We're in this office on the back lot of a Disney property.
You mean the floating Russian helicarrier?
Nice. Nice.
But yeah, I agree.
Okay. The prison, the exterior. Okay. Gotcha. Interior. Didn't feel as hopeless as I would have tried to make it, in my opinion.
So there's this TV show called Arrow. And
that I don't watch anymore.
Of course, because, you know, also it's over. But yeah, one of the seasons, the character, he was in jail for maybe five episodes. Uh-huh. Sorry. Because, you know, vigilantism is illegal. And he was in jail and they did a big prison breakout episode. And all the prisoners were let out and they were all fighting each other and they were trying to kill him. And one of the people who trained them back betrayed him. And I honestly just have flashbacks of that show the whole time, because there's only so many ways to do prison episodes. It's a prison break and that reminds you of something else, or it's somebody being wrongfully accused of something. But there's only so many ways to do prison settings.
Yes.
And so at this point is kind of a dead horse.
Yeah,
like you break them out, people die while they're being broken out. Yeah, it's
cliche. Yeah,
I wasn't impressed. Yep. Exactly.
And then exactly. You're allowed to just sit there and open a package, you know, right out in the open and be like, oh, look.
The premise is supposed to be that the guards are corrupt, so they're stupid, but you could be corrupt and competent. So I don't get how all of a sudden they're, yeah.
This should let people know where we're headed here in this direction.
Yes.
You want to switch over to some characters? We won't hit them all, but we'll hit the high notes.
Yeah, of course.
Natasha Romanoff. Would you like me to go first or do you want to go first?
You could go first.
Okay. Here's where I get frustrated. So before somebody tries to say, oh, you're sexist or anything like this, some of my favorite Marvel characters are like Ming-Na Wen's Melinda May. And characters from that show, I loved how they wrote specifically the women. What I loved about Black Widow prior to this movie was how they wrote her. Yes, she's had some bad circumstances, but she was never a victim. She was never like engulfed in victimhood. She was always like deadly and awesome. And just, you know, you're like, when the Hulk was chasing her, I was like, you better hope she don't stop. That attitude. And then in this movie, it's all about this red room, which is a terrible situation and stuff, but you kind of turned her a little bit from the world beating woman to this, I don't know, this victim. And the whole, oh my gosh, when we get into problems, the, you know, the mechanism to why she can't hurt him. Now, you want to talk about misogyny. That, to me, was like the stupidest misogynistic thing I've ever seen. But I did not like how they did the character in this particular one. She was still, they still kept her pretty brilliant. But there were several spots in this where I'm like, that doesn't add up. That doesn't add up. You can show her development from a ruthless killer to somebody that has a conscience in a different way than turning them into a victim or something like that. Just my opinion. What do you think, Mel?
So here's the thing. When you usually have one of the problems that they did with Marvel, obviously, we watch Marvel stuff. One of the things they did is they made the guy the life of the party kind of situation. So you always have this situation where the guy, the male, and in all of these movies or TV shows, the guy is saying the quips, he's doing the jokes, and the female rolls her eyes kind of situation. So a Guardians of the Galaxy, it'll be Star-Lord and Drax. Meanwhile, Gamora would roll her eyes. Or in Age of Ultron, you got the guys trying to pick up the hammer and the girls rolling their eyes. So what that does is say, okay, they're above this all, or they don't have any fun. They don't realize that's kind of what they're saying in background. So when you have a movie, in my opinion, when you have a movie about a character who's already died, you got to say, okay, this person was this. This is what you missed out on. This was that. So when you victimize them and or you say, hey, by the way, their sister has way more personality. So by the way, this girl has way more personality, but don't worry, she's going to replace her soon anyway because she's already dead. And you run into those kind of problems. So what they should have done is give Natasha less victimization and more of a personality. I mean, I'm not saying she's Captain Marvel. That's a different set of problems, but just show what we're missing. Make us say we want her back. So, I mean, of course, when, she was with her sister, that brought a little bit more personality, and it ended with her getting a vest. But, we needed something else. We needed some oomph. We need to show that, like, number one, hey, you guys wanted a female-driven movie with the original Avenger. This is what you missed out on. Like, we needed to get some kick, some oomph. And, she did her usual thing. But, there was this victimization. There was everybody else had a better personality. And it just, they could have done better with her, I guess.
Let's move on to Yelena Belova. Florence Pugh's character that will pick up the mantle of Black Widow. She was really well done, in my opinion. They did a good job of not only getting you to invest in her storyline, but the way she breaks free and stuff all stacked up and made more sense and had more direction to me, more intentionality than what they were doing with the lead character of the movie.
There's this thing, I don't know if you watched that Midsummer with her, but there's this thing she can do where no matter what she's in, she engulfs herself. You believe it. And she does these microaggressions with her face, and you just believe the character. Like going back to the scene where they're in a car and they're just talking about the vest, and you believe it. And she's looking at Natasha, and she's kind of trying to talk up the vest, and she feels like a sister. She's trying to show that she did something well. And just there's all these things that she's portraying without saying anything, just like in her face, and you can feel it. And it's just a good character. It's like she's acting how the first female Avenger should have acted. Personality. I'm with a bunch of guys. I have a personality. So that's kind of what I wish I would have seen all these other movies. But, it looks like we're going in the right direction with her. I agree.
Next up, we had Melina, Rachel Weisz's character, Melina. It was a mixed bag for me. I didn't know what to think of that portrayal of this character. I didn't know it was the character supposed to be so callous and like stiff.
Apparently, it resonated family with one of them. But she got away with everything. She showed no remorse. No. I don't know about you, but I didn't even recognize her at first because, last time I saw her was The Mummy. And so at first I was just like, oh, okay. So there was that. But she was still competent. She had no remorse. And at the end, she just got away and was just like, all right, see you later.
Yeah.
So it was just,
I was like, okay. Nobody's going to put the screws to this person. Okay, fair. That's not fair, but okay.
Yeah, I mean, usually a bad guy, we make sure to kill them off, and that's why there's no crossbones. So.
Oh, may he rest in pieces. Alexei, David Harbour's character. I thought he was so goofy. Like, you know, like a real big goofball. It was fun, but it's not a character I was really taking that seriously. Had he died, I wouldn't have cared, to be honest.
And there's the thing again, the Marvel male has to be the goofball situation. So you have, so it's a female-led movie, and you have the guy, the males in it either have to be the bad guy, or it has to be just a goofball with, so when Captain Marvel, it was Sam Jackson. So, and then the guy, I forgot the Kree guy who was working with her. So you have those two males as the bad guy. In this one, you have, you know, the Russian Red Room guy, Dracoff, and then you have Red Guardian, and Red Guardian is just overdoing it. Like, I get everybody else is supposed to be serious, but he's like just take it to the extreme. He's Drax. He's Drax on crack, pretty much. And it's just like, okay. And then there's theories online that the super soldier serum kind of made him crazy. I don't know if that's what it is, but because it's a Russian version. Yeah. It's not the version Isaiah Bradley had.
Okay.
So
to me, you got to flesh that out ahead of, like, tell us, cue us in on that, because I was sitting there going, okay, he's just a goofball weirdo.
So their theory is that he is insane because already he thinks he fought Captain America.
And that would make sense to me then. That would have made more sense had they just portrayed it. Then I'd have been like, oh, he nailed it.
You mean you don't like to do homework after you watch a movie to figure out what you just watched?
No.
Just want to watch a movie and just enjoy it and have no clues? Come on.
Dracoff, let's go to him. I just thought he was a weirdo. Like, he portrayed a character that is a weirdo. I didn't get any sense of, you know, like, sometimes Marvel has done a good job with bad guys helping you see their side of it. This was just like a total, a landslide idiot, you know, and I'm like, I don't see his, you know, he had no kind of charisma or anything that would make you go, well, oh, that's why he did what he did or anything. He had no redeeming value whatsoever. He was just a mechanism that I wanted to see the main character go through all these steps to kill that person.
I agree. There's another thing about it is you need to have menace. Menace makes a bad guy good. So, for example, the first Captain America, I was afraid of when Red Skull would show up. I was just like, oh, he's going to kill somebody. Like, what's he going to do? Like, I was worried for characters. Same with Killmonger. I just knew there were people he was going to kill because you just didn't know what Killmonger was going to do next. Same with Loki and Avengers. Like, I was worried for Hawkeye. That first scene when he showed up and he went against Maria Hill, Hawkeye, and Nick Fury, I was like, who's getting away? Like, he's going to kill somebody. So there's also got to be some menace. And with him, I wasn't worried about anything. So there was that. Also, yeah, he seemed comical. Like, and then we're going to get into the problems with why he couldn't be fought later. Right. But yeah, it's just, could have been better.
Mason, we'll talk about him for a minute. See, I went into this, I have acquaintances that watched test footage a long time ago. And they had allegedly clued me in on stuff, but it turned out to be all incorrect. Like, they didn't go in that direction. But in the footage they watched, they said he was actually going to have a romantic kind of relationship with her. And then he was going to be revealed to be the Taskmaster. And I was like, oh, okay, that's too cliche, you know. So I was glad that they kind of switched that a little bit. But it left me kind of wondering, since it kind of looks like they cut stuff, it also kind of made their connection a little ambiguous. And I wasn't sure, like, what should I think of this character as far as what is their connection? They didn't really show a lot of that to me. So I really don't care. You know, that character could have been in the movie, not been in the movie at this point, because it really wasn't a pivotal thing for me.
It was I was trying to figure out if we've seen him before. Like, so when I first saw him, I said, wait, what? there was no backstory. They just throw a character here, and then you're supposed to kind of guess and jump through hoops. And, you know, you don't want to do homework when you watch a movie.
No, no. Lastly, let's get to Antonia, aka Taskmaster. I thought the premise was like, kudos for trying something like this or whatever in this kind of a movie. But it was just a weird story. Like, I don't believe this little bitty kid survived this explosion. You've already got me there. I just don't believe it. And then they did, and they're like this. It was almost reminding me of like Dr. Frankenstein. You know, I've got this almost pseudo monster I control and such. And you're just like, no. It's just, I just don't buy it. I'm sorry. That's just me.
I'll do you one better. So it's a character with swords who's not talking, and, you know, and it's a mercenary that you're supposed to be afraid of. It's Wolverine Origins, Deadpool. They didn't learn their lesson at all. Because there's ways to do this character better. Like, tone deaf people think, oh, it's because the character's female. No, because Ghost was female.
Right.
And Ghost was a guy. Yeah.
Brilliant.
Yeah. Ghost was great.
Yeah.
So it's not making a character female that's the problem. It's the problem is that you didn't learn from what you did with Deadpool the first time around. So, you know, also show how the character survived the explosion.
Yes.
So all he had to do was just, if he could go on 5 minutes about his scent, he could go on for 1 minute about
that.
Yeah. How did he survive?
We had a safe room.
Yeah.
We discovered the bomb. We had a safe room where we ducked in. She got hit with some shrapnel as going in or something, you know, but
I knew that you were going to defect to the shield. So I was listening in until you and that Hawkeye's conversation. So I was 5 minutes ahead of you.
Anything.
30 seconds. Yeah.
Nothing. We got nothing. Well, shall we get into the problems?
Yes, please.
Okay. The whole scent thing, the pheromones. I thought that was just for a company that is, you know, that claims they're woke or whatever you want to say. I just thought that was the worst decision you probably could have made.
So there's a lot of ways they could have done it. But I mean, you could say we genetically programmed you and then, but how?
You know what I would have taken over top of that is the Suicide Squad mechanism.
Yeah.
We've implanted, when we had you under, we put a little bomb in there. You mess with me, you're blow your head off.
Yeah.
I would have taken that over this. That was the pheromones.
Dead man switch. My heart stops beating. You die.
Yep.
Easily.
Not this.
Yeah, because you say scent and, oh, I got it. I got the flu. Like, I could kill you when I got the flu. So
I can't smell you. Oh, my gosh. That's great, man.
Yeah, it's like, and then so they said the nerve had to be damaged, but you could put a coroner could just show up and kill him. Like, just come on. Yeah, they didn't think that part through.
Very dumb. The the gas mechanism for waking people up. I thought it was kind of hokey. That's just me, man. I know you got to do something, but I just was like,
was a lot less clunky than if it was a syringe, I guess, because you know, you saw Tomorrow War, yes. Like right. Having it show all the way up and like, because you know, so could be worse.
Okay. Another problem I had was this, you got this gigantic flying facility that nobody knows exists. SHIELD never knew it existed. Tony Stark can lick time travel, but he can't find it. You know what I mean? Like, come on, man.
Also, you know, airspace being completely mapped so we could find out when aliens arrive, but we don't have this artificial construct that isn't a helicarrier being tracked, but yeah.
Ridiculous. The size of it too. And you're just, it just evades radar and everything. I was like.
Well, the reason is because, back when Hydra and SHIELD were the same thing, one of the Hydra people helped him out with it. And that's when Alex, I'm just joking. 30 seconds to explain it, though, right?
Right.
Like, I just did.
But and then the ring. Just mechanisms like that, like little things that you need to accomplish this and that stuff is so, to me, just my opinion, it's so beneath like Marvel, what they have presented us so far. You know, like I just looked at that and was like, I would expect to see that in some other types of movies and such, but Marvel's usually craftier and has better ideas.
Well, that's why at the beginning they gave you that they showed her watching that James Bond movie because they wanted to show you, oh, yeah, we're going to copy James Bond for a little while.
Right. Right. Any other problems that you had? I think I have more, but we'll.
So it was pointed out that at the end of the post-credit scene that maybe she doesn't, Valentina doesn't really want Hawkeye dead. It's just a test.
Really? Okay.
So that's been an option online that I've seen. Me, I think she wants him dead.
Right. In their time together, how would Black Widow, you know, Natalie not have told her about, you know, that they were good friends at least prior to the events of Infinity War and all that stuff? You know what I mean?
She already did, just based on
that room where
The room and yeah, the tic-tac-toes. And are you like, what kind of adult lost tic-tac-toe? But it's got to be a test.
Okay.
Because, or then again, you know, no spoilers, but they are bringing in, he is training a new Hawkeye. So in the TV show. All so right. It's, you know, Kate Bishop is showing up.
All right.
So maybe she takes over. So you never know. I mean, this feels like they're fleshing out all the old school Avengers and bringing in new ones.
Yeah.
So, and he is getting old.
Yeah.
So you never know. Maybe, but it would be hard to accept her as a new Black Widow if she killed off a character in Avenger.
Well, certainly.
Like, So I don't see how that would work. Another thing, here's the thing I have a problem with is you going back to Taskmaster. So your daughter that you love survived the explosion, and your first thing is to brainwash her and make her a cyborg,
right,
and never have her talk again.
Or she could kill you, you know, or something, you know what I mean? Like, if things go sideways, she could kill me, but okay.
And if you're going to do that to your own daughter, why would you do that to some random girls you don't care about in the Red Room?
Right.
Why aren't there, like, 12 Taskmasters? Like... No, we're just going to stop at one.
Yeah, so, we can float this entire virtual little city up here, but we can't have more than one of those outfits. That's like,
yeah, exactly.
I mean, I could nitpick all day, but we're going to run out of time. You want to talk about some wins?
Yes. Yes, please.
Obviously, like we've said, I think the Yelena Belova character is a slam dunk. I think that's a character I want to find in future movies. Better make that happen. I think that was an excellent win. What are some other wins on your scorecard? Anything?
Well, you know, when I was watching Endgame, I was like, where did she get that vest from? That's all I could think of. And so now that, no, rack in my brain.
You're like, maybe.
I like the, you know, as cheesy as it was, the family dinner scene was, it was what it meant to do. It did humanize her. And the rest of them. So that was nice to see that.
Yeah.
So that was a nice win.
I did like some of the callbacks too from their little stint, you know, like you're upside down and all that, you know, just that little stuff like that. It was probably the best parts of the movies were those little callbacks to that stuff. Outside of that, like the whole storyline is kind of creepy when you think about it. You know what I mean? Like it's just a weird story.
I like the beginning. I like the whole, you know, because I like the Americans. The first few seasons of the Americans TV show, and that's what this reminded me of, the first 30 minutes, I guess. But, yeah, I like the whole, you know, their family in Ohio or what have you, and then all of a sudden they got to mobilize, and this is not a drill, and they get to it, and, like, it's just a really good action piece. I just didn't like the end part of where they get caught. I knew the programming was supposed to happen. I thought it already happened, believe it or not. Like I just had my timeline in my head a little wrong. And so I said, wait, oh, she's already programmed. That's why she's living with this Russian family now. And then when they flew the plane and got to their destination, then they get taken.
Yep.
And it was just a hard scene to watch. But everything before that, I liked.
Yeah, I agree with that. I like how silly she made General Ross, look as always. He always ends up with the short end of the stick. He's like a caricature at this point. Just like this larger than life bozo that can't catch anybody unless they surrender. But there were some good things, and the action set pieces were pretty amazing. Some of the cool little gadgets and stuff were amazing, and stuff like that. I like that.
Yeah, I like the when she went, we could call it Mega Man or Metroid, but when she just started taking out the other widows with the thing, I was like, use that again. Yeah. That's the best weapon you have.
The Mandalorian whistling birds almost.
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
That's outstanding.
That's a great weapon. Better not use this again.
Right. Can't use it in this situation. That would make sense.
Yeah.
Do you want to rate this movie?
You know, it's better than, you know, it's not Godzilla versus King Kong, but it's also, you know, it's also not worth $30 right now. No. So not when I already have the membership, but that's neither here nor there.
Right.
Shoot. Yeah, I would say, what did you wouldn't have to remember what we did for Godzilla King Kong, would you?
I can find out. I don't think all movies are analogous, though. You know what I mean?
You're like, right. You're right.
You gave it a 7.
Oh, shoot. Then, yeah, I guess I got to give this an 8.
See, I'm not going to go in that direction because I'm not pitting them apples to apples.
Correct. It's just I don't want to, you know.
Yeah, I understand. You don't want the backlash. I get it. But for me, I can't give this more than a 7 because just for me and my expectations of Marvel and what I've waited years to see this character get her own movie. And this is what I got. And I was like, I mean, I could go watch it at any time. I paid for the All Access. I haven't watched it since. And I don't want to. I just don't want to. I saw everything I needed to see. I might crack it open, you know, in the future. But
if I'm allowed to go back, then I would like to give it a 6 because, you know, as far as a Marvel movie, you know,
it's
which
low.
We hold a higher standard. Yeah, it's definitely low. So, yeah, good point. Yeah, definitely for me a 6 then.
Okay.
Because I got Captain Marvel at a 5.
Yeah, when I first watched it, I was like, this movie's a 5. And then I've calmed down since then. There was a lot to like about the movie. They just made some weird choices in a few certain areas. Had they changed some of those, man, this movie would have been right up there.
It had potential. And definitely if, you know, have Melina in jail at the end, for starters. There was potential.
Yep. Do something different than The Scent, and then my score goes up. He's wearing Old Spice. You can't kill him. You're like, what? He can't be killed because of Old Spice?
I'm wondering if there's a bar where I can wear a certain scent and the bartender's like, you smell like my husband. Here's free drinks.
Here's free drinks.
Does that work anywhere?
No, that does not work anywhere ever. Quickly, I want to get you out because John and I have already discussed this and XD and I have already discussed this, but I quickly want to get your thoughts on Scarlett Johansson suing Disney because they released this on Disney Plus as well as in theaters. What would you say briefly?
I mean, was it a breach of contract? I mean, the movies have a release situation. I don't get why that's a suing thing.
She has, she had a clause where the money she should have got was been tied to box office sales. Those weren't going to be good anyway. I hate to break it to people, but they're like me. I'm not going to a theater. I'm not scared to go to one. I just don't want to go to one. If I can't watch it out in the living room right now, I just don't want to go. I don't know if it's laziness or what. I just don't want to go to a theater right now.
And in their defense, they didn't want to do a Fast and Furious 9 where it's only in theaters, so you lose out on the box office.
But guess what? Fast and Furious 9 is right out there. I can go watch it right now. $20.
Yeah.
And after they said that, and they're like, only in theaters. We didn't say how long.
Yeah.
I'm exactly. Like, you guys are liars, man.
Yeah. So You know, it's at the end of the day, a business needs to make money. So I don't know. It's
always about these.
Yeah. I mean, because we look at things from a business standpoint, you and me. And so I have to think like, it's not a breach of contract and they need to make money. And if we weren't able to watch it, it was only in theaters. We would have skipped it.
Yes.
We would have waited till October.
Yes.
We would be doing this podcast till November. So the business was right here. You know, usually it's the spot, the little guy, but I side with the business on this one.
I do too. But I will say this, just take care of her. Like, it's not worth the bad press at this point. Just kick her the whatever money she's asking for. I would just settle and just kick it out there, even though I think they didn't do anything wrong.
So here's the other side of that. You remember the Dave Chappelle Netflix thing, right?
Yeah.
Where so Comedy Central never made a contract with him to put it on Netflix. And he said that was bad, blah, 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 blah. Netflix and Comedy Central worked together and said, here you go.
Yeah.
They didn't have to do anything. So, and of course, they're smaller than Disney. But... And so we were talking about it. We were like, would Disney do something like that? Because they're all encompassing. They never admit fault.
No.
So, yeah. So it's a different situation. I don't think they're going to admit fault and they're going to call it a day.
Okay.
They're just going to ignore this.
Yep. Probably.
Remember, they fire people based on their Twitter. Like, I don't see how.
How dare you tweet?
Yeah. How dare you treat your personal thoughts?
Don't think what you think.
I think I don't think she's going to get what she wants out of this.
No. What? Who are we? So we'll just I guess we'll leave it there if that's cool with you.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you so much, Mal. This has been a great episode.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Hey, what do you think at home? Do you think we got it wrong? Let us know. TPENetwork.com/feedback. We would love to hear your thoughts. If you think we're just smoking something. Now I'm getting that contact from my neighbors. But other than that, check us out at tpenetwork.com for all the fun podcasts we do. For Mel, I'm Hank. Until the next time, we're signing off.
See you later.
If you're enjoying the show, subscribe to the podcast by heading to tpenetwork.com/subscribe. TPE Network. There ain't nothing else like it.